Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Wednesday, middle of the week, almost to that long holiday weekend. How you doing? It's Spencer at Sports with you here on KGYM 205 on this 24th day of May of 2023. 319-366-1600 is the talk or text line if you want to weigh in on anything going on in the sports world today. Be happy to hear from you. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well with you this afternoon on KGYM 1600 AM 102.3. and 106.3 on the FM dial in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Find us streaming online at KGYMradio.com. Also on the free-to-download app for your smartphone and on your smart speaker device. Also find us in podcast form. We put the show up on our website, KGYMradio.com. If you missed anything we talked about from yesterday's show, the day before, last Tuesday's show, the show from January 27th. I don't even know if we had a show January 27th. But hey, if you want to find it, download it, listen to it. You are more than welcome to do that. Lots to get to in the next hour with you here today. NBA playoffs. There will not be a sweep in the East. Is it just window dressing? Are we putting lipstick on a pig here? Or is this the sign of a major, major comeback? A comeback we've never seen before by a team down 3-0. Boston winning last night over Miami, winning in Miami on their home floor. That does force a game 5 set for tomorrow night in Boston. We'll talk about that momentarily. Still could have a couple sweeps in the hockey playoffs. Last night, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, or just the Vegas Golden Knights, beating Dallas last night to take a 3-0 series lead there. We could have the other side of things. The Eastern Conference closed out tonight as Florida hosts Carolina for game 4. We'll get into that in just a little bit as well. Got some baseball to talk about. The Big Ten baseball tournament back underway in Omaha. Nebraska and Rutgers kicking things off to begin the day today. Only 2 games on the slate. Of course, the Iowa baseball team got the day off in Omaha. They're enjoying wonderful Omaha, Nebraska today. Obviously preparing for their game tomorrow against number 2 seed Indiana, but some well-deserved rest for the Hawkeyes as they won yesterday over Michigan. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Major League Baseball scoreboard today. Also have Colonels baseball live in action right now just down the road at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels and Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Baby Brewers versus the Baby Twins, in a sense. We'll talk about that. Get you a score update later on in the show. Also, I've got an interesting, it's part collector's corner, part what would you do in this scenario that I'm interested to get your thoughts on. We do Collector's Corner from time to time, talking about sports cards, sports memorabilia, autograph stuff, stuff that sells for a lot of money. This has to do with money. It has to do with baseball cards. I'll give you the premise now. I'll let you think on it. We'll get to it before 3 o'clock. But if I told you, you could have $250,000 now, or wait maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe longer than that, and get $1 million. What would you do? Would you take the $250K now or wait for the possibility at $1 million? That is the predicament one person has to choose, the decision one person has to make. And it has to do with baseball cards. I'll tell you about that before 3 o'clock today as well. 319-366-1600. We have a poll question for you at KGYMradio.com. Has to do with the NBA playoffs, and that's where we're going to jump in today. Do we have a series on our hands in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals? Yes or no? A poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Again, Game 5 is set for tomorrow night in Boston. Before we get into sports, Isaac was the one who came in the studio and alerted me of this, and I appreciate that. That is why you're here, to alert me to things that maybe I have missed. But you came in the studio. We talk like we always do before the show, just talk about whatever's going on, and you're just like, hey, Tina Turner died. I'm like, wait, Tina Turner? What? And I waited because, you know, like sometimes people put out stuff and like maybe it's not true. We've seen that happen before with, you know, different, you know, celebrities, whether they're A-list or B-list celebrities. But it's been confirmed by numerous sources. TMZ is usually the one that people go to. Singer Tina Turner passing away at the age of 83 after a long illness at her home in Switzerland. So another legend of music has passed away. And Isaac, you and I were talking about kind of reminiscing about the good old days in a sense, but I'm sure you've experienced this, you know, there's artists that I didn't necessarily grow up listening to, but I listened to on account of they were artists my parents enjoyed listening to. And Tina Turner was one of those. I mentioned, you know, Glenn Frey of the Eagles. I mentioned Tom Petty and you know, Prince and Michael Jackson and artists like that. And it's another one of those people that you hear her songs on the radio, on, you know, the streaming playlists or whatever, and you knew the songs, you loved the songs, and another legend of music is gone.
Yeah, really decorated career, unfortunate passing. I told you, I don't know why, I thought she was younger. So yeah. That's what really threw me off guard, is I didn't think she was 83, and obviously I didn't know that she had health issues and stuff like that. I imagine that's why she was maybe in Switzerland for some of that. So yeah, really unfortunate, but great career, really good singer. So
and we might be the best generation to talk about.
Yeah, Tina obviously Turner, I'm 23, so it's not like I'm gonna be and really I'm reminiscent about it or anything, because it's not really my era of music. Right. But
you're a young dude still. I'm a young old dude, so you know, maybe we're not the best folks to talk about it. But I think we both could appreciate Tina Turner's career. But that news coming out within the last half hour or so. The legend passing away at the age of 83, I'm sure. And I know many, many folks are going to be sharing their memories of her all across social media here today. So crank up your favorite Tina Turner song in memory of her today. On to sports here. Let's dive into the NBA playoffs from last night. I think and we both agreed, Isaac and I did, as we talked about it yesterday. We thought the series would be over. Miami just playing too well. Boston, especially with that game three, just meltdown that they had. The final score, a lot closer than the game actually was in that one. Thought maybe Miami had it in the bag, but we slept on those Celtics last night, and the Celtics able to do what they hadn't throughout this series, and play good defense, number one. Number two, they got Jason Tatum to the point of, you know, where he usually should be. You expected him to be, right? At this point, not only in the NBA playoffs, but just his ability to make plays, make shots, and help lead the team to a victory. And that's what we got last night. The Heat, also another factor in this game, too, and something that I think, if you watch the game, and I know I said this as a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, who the Heat knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, they're going to cool off eventually, right? They can't keep shooting like this forever, and well, they've had their bumps in the road. They've been largely consistent at shooting the basketball, and last night was not a good night, and it cost them an opportunity to sweep the Boston Celtics out of the playoffs and advance to the NBA Finals. The Celtics winning last night, in case you missed it, 116-99. I mentioned Jason Tatum, 33 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists in the game. It's his sixth postseason game this postseason, I should say, with 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Actually ties Nikola Jokic for the most this postseason. Got decent production from the supporting cast, along with Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown with 17, Derek White chipping in 16, Grant Williams with 14 points, Al Horford chipping in 12 as well, and Marcus Smart distributing the basketball, 6 assists to go along with 11 points last night. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla had this to say about how the team stuck together, despite with their backs being against the wall and up for elimination if they had lost the game last night. Here's the head coach of Boston and his thoughts on the win.
Yeah, I think just that poise, you know, the trust in each other, the connectivity. I think just throughout a game, regardless of how the game was going, that stuff never waned. And so, you know, listen, like when the stakes are really high and you're trying to achieve what we're trying to achieve, it's easy to lose those things, you know, because the guys are playing as hard as they can. And so I just thought regardless of the result, the guys just stuck together.
And they really refocused. They came together, focused up, and found a way to get it done in the eyes of the Celtics players. And that's the sentiment that Jaylen Brown echoed after the game yesterday, and his thoughts on how they were able to finally get one in the win column in the series and avoid heading home for the offseason.
Just coming together, talking it out. And like a lot of times when you get to this point, you know, down 3-0, you see, you know, locker rooms and teams start to go in the other direction. We wanted to make sure that we stayed together. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, looked each other in the eye and came out today and put our best foot forward. And I'm proud of our group for doing that. Because, you know, you see teams with their back against the wall and you see they just collapse. You didn't see that tonight. You've seen us come together. You've seen us play defense. You've seen us make the right plays. And I feel like that shows a lot about our character, especially in a game where everything has, you know, is on the line and everything has went wrong in the last couple of games.
Celtics shooting 51% from the floor last night. They made 18 three-pointers, 18 of 45. That's good for 40% from three. Interesting stat to note, too. When they make 40% of their threes, well, this season they've been pretty good. Out of the 39 games that they've done so, they are 37-2. And last night was a big night for them. That certainly helped them win that basketball game last night, 116-99. 7 of the 18, by the way, for the Celtics came in that third quarter, which really, we've seen it be a bad point for the Celtics in the series. And, well, it was a good point. It helped turn the game in their favor, third quarter last night for the Celtics, helping them really kind of flip the script and finally get one and deny Miami the opportunity to sweep. As for the Heat, Jimmy Butler last night was their leading scorer, 29 points and 9 rebounds. Gabe Vincent finishing with 17. Caleb Martin had 16. And Bam Adebayo had 10. The Heat shooting 43% from the floor last night. When it came to three-pointers, something they shot quite a lot of, or quite a few of, speak better English here, in the first, or in game three, I should say, 8 of 32. Last night, 25%, made just 8 threes the entire game, and that was really one of the things that went wrong last night for the Heat. Here's their head coach, Eric Spoelstra, after the loss.
There wasn't a lot of flow to the offense, and then they capitalized on that, you know, getting out in transition, which they've been trying to do is speed this thing up a little bit, and then they knocked down some threes, and it just, you know, they got the 2-point lead just like that. And then from that point, you know, they mostly had control of that second half. You have to credit them for that. They defensively took advantage of our ball holding. And we're, you know, a little bit late getting into our stuff. You know, and they have good individual defenders. So, you know, we have to do this thing collectively. That's when we're at our best. And then obviously really dial into, you know, the transition and the threes. You know, when they get, you know, a couple to go down, they're just like us, you know, then it can turn into more.
Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra talking about what went wrong in game four. Heat still had the series lead, right? 3-1. Opportunity to close it out coming up tomorrow night in Boston. As we know, teams that are down 3-0 in a series, we've talked about this the last several days, are 0-150 after the Lakers lost earlier this week. It was 0-149, now 0-150 after the Lakers were swept by Denver earlier in the week. Is it window dressing, the win last night, window dressing, or is this the start of an epic comeback for the Boston Celtics? Eric Spoelstra was asked about that, about being not necessarily, you know, are we going to choke things away, but is he concerned about a letdown from his perspective as the head coach?
I didn't sense any of that. You know, at some point, this is great competition. You know, sometimes it can get skewed because whatever, the 3-0, but we have great respect for Boston, what they're capable of. They're a dynamic offensive team. It takes extraordinary efforts and commitment, you know, to get the job done. Our guys really want this. But Boston has something to say about it as well, just like we do. You know, sometimes things don't go exactly as planned. You know, a lot of what we've done this year has been the hard way, you know, and we've been able to figure out ways to win, even if teams are playing well, if we're not in a perfect flow.
Eric Spoelstra there, the second half last night. One of the things, they have to figure out how to play a better second half coming up in Game 5, especially after what transpired, I should say, for the Heat last night. What transpired was not good in that second half. They were outscored by 23 points, 9 turnovers, and they shot 35% from the field in that second half. As they will play at least one more game, could be two, could be three. You don't know. It's very well, you know, it's not, at least in my opinion, going to happen, but is it an epic comeback in the making, or is it just window dressing? Gentlemen sweep. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts welcome on the talk or text line. Seriously, though, should the Heat be worried? Should they be afraid of blowing this? ESPN's Corey Alexander was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier today and was asked that very question.
I would say a little more worried than they were. Because when we've seen the Boston Celtics in the, you know, up against elimination, we watched them go to Philly in Game 6. Jason Tatum has a huge fourth quarter. And then, of course, they end up going to a Game 7 where he breaks a Game 7 record, scores 51 points. And they have another opportunity to try to redeem themselves in front of their home crowd. I believe they will see that same level of intensity, that sense of urgency that they saw in Game 5 last night. And there's a strong possibility that the series will be coming back to South Beach for Game 6.
Game 5 is tomorrow night. Out of those 150 teams that have lost, 0-150, like we said, that have been down 3-0 in a series, 44 of them went on to lose in 5. So the Celtics could be the 45th team to do that. Another 11 lost in 6, and only 3 of them ended up losing in 7. Isaac, is this the start of an epic comeback, or is it just window dressing in your opinion?
I don't think it's going to be a comeback. I think the only reason the Heat should be worried is if they lose the next game. Then I think you can maybe get a little bit worried, but you've clearly been the better team, and you've been the better team by being prepared and not overreacting throughout the playoffs, even not just the series, but you've been the better team by preparing, not overreacting, and just playing your game. So don't get the Heat just can't get too tense about it, not worry too much about it, and just play their game as normal, and they will most likely beat the Celtics. Because Celtics have proved that you can beat them on the road, or like if they're at home. Like, you can beat the Celtics at home, the Celtics can beat you at home. They're not the most consistent home and away side in the league. So I don't think the Heat should be worried for the next game. I think if they lose the next game, that's when you might start sounding the alarms.
If there is a Game 6 this weekend, maybe those alarms are sounding. Interesting stat, as Isaac brings up the Celtics being beatable at home. I know Jason Fitz mentioned this, and Fitz and Harry, the tail end of their show right before we came on the air. Celtics, over the last two postseasons, below 500 at home, 10-11 at home. Excluding the bubble, this is from ESPN Stats and Info, by the way. The Celtics are the only team in NBA postseason history to be under 500 over a 2-postseason span at home. 10-11 at home, so it does not necessarily bode well for them. Obviously, you know, stats are, you know, it could be kind of meaningless. Celtics could go home, defend their home court. Obviously, they feel rejuvenated. It was Marcus Smart, I think, who said, "Don't let us win one." So he's already kind of setting it up like, hey, we plan on making the comeback. And honestly, you know, what do you expect him to say, right? I mean, like, he's got to show confidence. He's not going to, well, yeah, we won one, but I think we're going to lose Game 5. No, that's not what he's going to say. He's going to say, hey, we won one. We think we can win 2. We think we can win 3. That's what he's going to say. Will they do it? Will they back it up? We'll see. And Game 5 is tomorrow night in Boston. If I had to say, I think the Heat took a step back. They cooled off for a night. I think they're perfectly capable of winning the series, and obviously history shows that, well, they're in a pretty good spot to do that with that 3-0 series lead. If you believe the NBA is scripted, we'll see what happens in Game 5. Heat are going to win the series. Heat Nuggets, that's going to be our finals. If I'm wrong, I will be the most wrong I've ever been. The most wrong a lot of us have ever been. 319-366-1600. Other news in the NBA, at least from a coaching perspective, I saw this from Shams Charania. Surprise, surprise, Nick Nurse is a hot commodity for the vacant opening. Some of the top vacancies when it comes to coaching in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns Just a couple days after the Milwaukee Bucks announced their finalists, quote-unquote, for the job, their open head coaching job, the Suns telling Shamsharania from The Athletic they have narrowed their head coaching search to five candidates, including Nick Nurse, who's also a narrowed-down finalist for the Milwaukee opening. The finalists for the Phoenix Suns job, according to Shams, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, Doc Rivers, Jordy Fernandez, who's assistant to Mike Brown in Sacramento, and Kevin Young, the assistant, one of the top assistants for Monty Williams and his staff in Phoenix. Those five are all going to meet with owner Matt Ishbia and other team officials in Michigan later this week. So a little bit closer to Ishbia went to Michigan State, obviously. We'll see. But Nick Nurse is a popular guy, championship-level head coach. He is one of the finalists for not only the Phoenix opening, but also the Milwaukee opening and the Sixers opening, according to Shamsharania. And he's at or near the top of the list for all three jobs, per Shams. Surprise, surprise, the Iowa native is a popular name in those head coaching searches. 226, got to take a quick timeout. We'll talk some hockey on the other side. We're going to see a couple sweeps in the conference finals in hockey. We'll get to that. Plus, we'll get into some baseball and get you an update for the Big Ten tournament. Plus, that Collector's Corner, the What Would You Do edition of Collector's Corner coming up before 3 o'clock. It's Spencer at Sports with you on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. It will be a bit hazy and toasty with temperatures around 80 degrees once again. Later tonight, the winds begin to pick up and cooler air will be moving in. Temperatures will drop down into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine, but it will be a bit cooler out there with temperatures held to the low 70s. We'll keep the 70s around on Friday as well as the sunshine, but bounce back into the 80s for the Memorial Day weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. No dig, multi-purpose fence panels are easy to install. Just lay out your panels and hammer the posts directly into the ground, and your fence is complete. Right now, 31 by 36 no dig, multi-purpose fence panels are just $10.99 each after 11% off at Menards. Good through May 29th, savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back in with you at 2:28 with Spencer at Sports here on a Wednesday through a 9366-1600. Round of our poll question to KGYMRadio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Do we have a series on our hands in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA? Yes or no? You think the Celtics are starting an epic comeback, vice versa, the Heat starting an epic collapse, or is it just lipstick on a pig, Heat are going to win? I think the Heat are going to win. I think they're likely going to win tomorrow. I agree with Isaac and what he said. The Heat lose tomorrow, gets to a game six. Maybe they still win the series, but not a position you want to be in considering you were up 3-0. But my answer is no to the poll question, but you can let us know what you think at KGYMRadio.com. Again, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. 319-366-1600, that is the talk or text line. It's wide open for you today if you want to chime in on anything going on in the sports world. We've got baseball scores to update you on. Big Ten baseball, a slightly more packed house in Omaha today because Nebraska is playing. Surprise, surprise. Nebraska fans will show up to a game being played in their home state. Stunning analysis, I know. Huskers leading Rutgers 3-0. That is the first game, first of two today, over at Charles Schwab Field in Omaha. We'll update you on that score in a little bit. Get you a Colonels update, too. They are in action just down the road at Veterans Memorial Stadium. But some hockey from last night. We could have, well, we're looking at two sweeps in this one, just like we were in the NBA in both the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Last night, Las Vegas, big first period, 3 goals in 7.5 minutes in the opening period. 4-0 victory all told over Dallas to take a 3-0 series lead. Those 3 goals coming from Marchessault, Barbashev, and Carrier in the first period. Alex Petrangelo's goal, 8:28 into the second, helped creating the final margin. Aiden Hill, his first career postseason shutout, 34 saves in goal for the Vegas Golden Knights as they beat Dallas on Dallas's home ice last night to move within one game of clinching the Western Conference Finals and advancing to the Stanley Cup Final. Ugly scene early on in that one. I didn't see this live, but saw the highlights at SportsCenter this morning. What I did see when I tuned off the NBA and turned on hockey was fans throwing things from the stands onto the ice toward the end of the second period. Not a good look. Frustrating night for fans and players together in Dallas last night. But Jamie Benn, the Stars captain, ejected because of a hit on Mark Stone less than 2 minutes into the game. That led to a power play, and that was the start of Dallas's troubles on the night as Dallas goes down 3-0 to Vegas, losing on their home ice last night. On the other side, in the Eastern Conference Finals, as Scott Unesh calls them, America's team, the Florida Panthers, could knock out the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 7 o'clock on TNT, as the Panthers lead that series 3-0. Teams that have a 3-0 lead in a best-of-seven series, just like the NBA, they are pretty darn good, and they are able to close them out. A 204 series record. 204. That makes 150-0 look, you know, like chump change, basically. 204 record all-time, including a 46-0 record in the round immediately before the Stanley Cup Final. That is for teams that are 3-0 in a best-of-seven series. As for the teams individually, Carolina, 15-15 all-time when facing elimination in a best-of-seven series. Florida, 6-4 all-time in playoff games with a chance to clinch, including a 2-1 mark this postseason. The Panthers have a 3-0 lead in the best-of-seven series for just the third time in their franchise's history. They have lost Game 4 in both previous instances, including in the second round this year against Toronto, but they did go on to win both series. So the Panthers are expected, at least if history shows us, to win the game tonight and move on to the Stanley Cup Final as the 8th seed in the East. An impressive run for the Florida Panthers, continuing the postseason of South Florida teams with the Panthers and the Miami Heat if both are able to advance to their respective finals. But could we see comebacks in either of these series? That's what ESPN NHL analyst PK Subban was asked about on SportsCenter last night. Do either the Hurricanes or Stars have a chance to come back from down 3-0 in their respective series?
A big part of that is experience, right? So when you look around your locker room, you're going to look around and you're going to say, is there anyone who's been in this situation before? Because the margin for error, when you're down 3-0 in a series, it shrinks dramatically. And for young players, every shift is a learning experience. And the attention to the details of the game that can cost you a game or win you a game just are so much more important. So it's not that younger teams can't do it. It's just highly unlikely because of the experience factor, understanding what you have to do in those moments. Does Dallas have it in them to do it? Of course they do. They got players that were a part of that run in 2020. You know, they got some veteran players there. I don't know if Jamie Benn's going to be in the lineup. That's another question mark. Are they going to have their captain? Are they 100%? Is Roope Hintz 100%? We don't know that. But they're going to need everything to extend this series. They're going to need it all, for sure.
They'll try to extend that series. Dallas will, specifically tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on ESPN. That'll be game four on their home ice in Dallas. We do have game four of the Florida-Carolina series, by the way, on the radio side tonight, courtesy of Sports USA. We'll have coverage starting at 6:30 tonight right here on KGYM. It is on TNT for the TV coverage as Florida looks to win and advance to the Stanley Cup Final. 319-366-1600 at 2:35. We'll take a quick 90-second timeout and talk a little baseball, get you another update for the Big Ten Tournament, Colonels update, Major League Baseball scoreboard, and more on the other side of this timeout. It's Spencer on Sports with you on the gym.
Carrie, is this schedule the most updated?
There's a wedding season rush at Dr. Iona's dental practice.
You're fully booked this week. We can try and squeeze you in next Tuesday.
She needs a dental hygienist to unveil fresh smiles.
How long has three been under the UV light?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The Dell Technologies Summer Sale event is on with limited quantity deals on top tech. Save on select PCs powered with the latest Intel Core processors like thin and light XPS 13 laptops, Inspiron laptops, and 2-in-1s. Plus, get savings on select accessories, free shipping, and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. It's the perfect season to power your passions during Dell's Summer Sale event. Save today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to U.S. residents by WebBank, who determines qualifications for it and terms of credit.
The NBA playoffs continue on ESPN Radio.
Tatum gives the Celtics their largest lead.
Facing elimination, the Celtics win game four, dealing the Heat their first playoff loss in Miami this postseason. Now the series returns to Boston, where the Celtics face another must win. Will they survive?
Here, game five of the Eastern Conference Finals, tomorrow night at 7 on the gym. Hockey tonight, basketball tomorrow. Got baseball over the Memorial Day weekend. Got it all for you here. You can keep up with the sports broadcast schedule at our website, kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600. From basketball to hockey to now baseball, covering the action for you here this afternoon. Start with a couple score updates as we roll along here on Spencer Out Sports for this Wednesday afternoon. From the Big Ten Baseball Tournament in Omaha, the home team, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, with a 3-0 lead on Rutgers. That game in the second inning. Huskers getting a home run in the previous frame to take that 3-0 lead. Like I mentioned, sizable crowd there compared to yesterday. I was watching the Maryland-Michigan State game last night, and I like, oh, yeah, there were a good amount of people there. Wasn't a great crowd, wasn't a, you know, the worst crowd ever seen, but it was sparse attendance for 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, being completely fair to the Iowa-Michigan game. Good, you know, fan support for Iowa, especially yesterday, but Maryland at Michigan State, or Maryland and Michigan State, Tuesday at 6 o'clock in Nebraska. I find it hard to believe many people, except for, you know, family of the players, to get to that game in Omaha on a Tuesday. But good fan support so far today, but Nebraska, part of the reason why. Huskers, the 4 seed, Rutgers, the 5 seed. That is, like I said, one of 2 games today. The other game tonight is the first elimination game of the tournament. It is Michigan, who, of course, lost to Iowa 13-3 yesterday, taking on Illinois. Illinois was knocked up by Indiana yesterday afternoon, 4-3. The Hoosiers beating the Fighting Illini yesterday. And Michigan and Illinois, the winner will move on. The loser is done for the tournament. That elimination game coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. As we await Iowa and Indiana tomorrow afternoon, about this time we'll have the game underway from Omaha, the Hawkeyes and Hoosiers battling it out. Do know tomorrow it will be Brody Brecht getting the ball for the Hawkeyes against Luke Sinard, one of the better pitchers in the Big Ten, Indiana's ace of their staff. He's faced Iowa once already this year and helped the Hoosiers secure a 2-0 win as part of the 3-game set over in Bloomington. Head coach Rick Heller talking a little bit about Luke Sinard, the pitcher tomorrow for the Hoosiers against the Hawkeyes in Game 2 for both teams at the Big Ten tournament.
The best pitch game against us this season was by Sinard. I would tell you, without question, just a tough matchup. He throws, so many different pitches and everything's moving, and he throws a lot of pitches in the chase zones, and but yet he pounds it. He pounds it with strikes and unpredictable pitches in counts that you normally could get more of a predictable pitch, and just a really good pitcher.
Hawkeyes head coach Rick Heller there. He also weighed in. Coach Heller did a little bit about the matchup against the number 2 seed. What do they think is awaiting them tomorrow as they resume play at 2 o'clock in Omaha?
Our guys are really looking forward to the challenge. They're fired up to get another shot at him and see if we can do a better job than we did last time. And we'll have Brody on the mound, and It should be a really really nice and really fun game to watch for sure as a fan.
Winner of the game between Iowa and Indiana will wait until Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So another kind of beneficial time off, right? If you get that win for the Hawkeyes tomorrow, if you're able to knock off Indiana, you don't play again until Saturday. So you get another full day off. Obviously gives your pitching staff and your position players as well a chance to rest up, do some scouting of the teams that you could be facing. But Iowa, I think as we talked yesterday, certainly looking pretty good for that at-large bid. 40 wins on the year, 40-13 all told, after beating Michigan in 8 innings yesterday. So that's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The loser of the Iowa-Indiana game will play Friday afternoon at 2 against the team that wins tonight's contest between Michigan and Illinois. That will also be an elimination game coming up Friday at 2. So if Iowa should lose to Indiana, they would play Friday. If they win, brew some coffee, get that brunch ready for Saturday morning, 9 a.m. bright and early in Omaha. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow for you here on the show. Live reaction to what happens for you in Omaha. Looking at Colonels update here for you this afternoon. Colonels playing a noon game against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. In the 10th inning, Colonels need to get their rally caps going here. Timber Rattlers getting a home run, top of the 10th inning. Home run helping them take the lead there. Robert Moore with a home run, driving in 3 runs, 3-run homer to give Wisconsin a 4-1 lead over the Colonels. That game is in the bottom half of the 10th. Colonels fell yesterday in Game 1, 8-4 to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids. So that's what's going on there with the Colonels. We'll let you know when that goes final as well. Checking out the Major League scoreboard for you here today. A few games in progress here this afternoon. Had a couple already go final. Pittsburgh Pirates falling to the Texas Rangers 3-2. White Sox getting a win over the Guardians 6-0. And the Brewers, a couple nights after giving up 5 home runs to the Astros lineup, they win 2 of 3 in that series. No complaints from me. Mr. Complains About the Brewers has nothing to complain about today. Brewers beating the Astros 4-0 after beating them 6-0 on Tuesday night. 10-0 over 2 games against one of the hottest teams in baseball coming into the series. Hey, I'll take it. Brewers take it 2 of 3 with Houston there. And games currently in progress this afternoon. The Diamondbacks leading the Phillies 5-3. Twins a 7-1 lead on the Giants. That game in the bottom half of the 8th inning. Twins losing last night to San Francisco 4-3. Michael Conforto, the hero for the Giants last night, 4-3. Two-run homer in the 7th for Conforto in that game. Cubs getting a win last night 7-2 over the New York Mets. Matt Mervis, a home run. Real story was Christopher Morel. Continues to be the story for the Cubs. He hit a home run for the 5th straight game, his 9th of the year in just 12 games. And we have to go all the way back to Sammy Sosa. Last time a Chicago Cubs player has homered in five straight games, Sosa doing it early June of 98. Christopher Morel on a hot streak as he helped the Cubs win that one 7-2 last night over the Mets. Cardinals a winner last night over Cincinnati, by the way, 8-5. Some crazy stuff in baseball yesterday. Nothing crazier than, get ready for it, Toronto 20, Tampa Bay 1. 20-1. What happened there? A six-run fifth for Toronto, a nine-run ninth. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., big night for him. 3-for-6, a grand slam, drove in six runs. George Springer fell one aspect shy of the cycle last night. Even the best team in baseball has a bad night, a really bad night. 20-1, the Blue Jays a winner there. Yankees winning in a walk-off over Baltimore last night, 6-5. Juan Soto homering in his return to Washington as San Diego beat the Nationals 7-4. Dodgers an 8-1 winner over Atlanta. Couple other pieces of history from last night. One good, one, well, not so good because it has to do with the Oakland A's. Mike Trout, 2-run home run last night in the 4-0 win for the Angels over Boston. Mike Trout, that home run, the 361st of his career. That ties Joe DiMaggio for 85th all time. No tungsten arm O'Doyle mentions because the Angels able to win that one last night 4-0. Another footnote from that, Trout's homer, the 361st of his career. Like I said, he is also one of 11 players with 11 home runs in the American League this year. Not in the lead, though. I think that would be enough for the lead, but surprise, surprise, Aaron Judge is in the lead. Had a tying home run last night in that win over the Orioles. Aaron Judge and Adolis Garcia, each with 14 to lead the American League, but Mike Trout right up there. And I mentioned the bad history. We got to talk about it. The Oakland A's will always be a topic of conversation on this radio program because they are on the way for a historically bad season. They continue to be. They lose to the Seattle Mariners last night, 3-2. That loss drops the A's to a 10-40 record. They're on pace for a 32-130 mark. Do you imagine losing 130 games? Isaac, I know you're not much of a baseball fan, but losing your favorite team, I tell you, your favorite team loses 130 games. Now, you're a Dodgers fan, so if the Dodgers lost 130 games, I would be very concerned.
I think the world would be on fire if the Dodgers lost 130 games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't... Just bad. I don't know how it's... You're talking about the A's?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's just... I know they're moving
pace.
To Vegas.
Now they
haven't
lost.
I know
lost,
they probably won't, but I know they're moving and they, I guess, secured a deal with Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know. The owner hasn't showed any ambition to win anytime recently. I don't know why moving to Vegas, all of a sudden the team is now going to be, he's going to be willing to spend money on the team. I don't know. I just know I don't get it. And it's not, I just can't imagine what A's fans actually feel like that are in Oakland. Just a terrible product, and you can't be surprised that no one shows up to the game. You don't give them a reason to.
They're loyal fans. They will show up. They love their team, but when they aren't loved back by the top of the organization, right?
Like, yeah, it's just what can you say? Like, you get the fans can't change it. If the owner doesn't want to spend money, he doesn't want to spend money,
right.
And it's unfortunate that he's just kind of forced his way to Las Vegas in this way, and it's kind of, I don't know, to me, ugly and shouldn't be rewarded in the way it's being rewarded as like, as at least that's how I see it. I see the move to Las Vegas as a reward for him and kind of caving in and giving him what he wants. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just give him a product that they can cheer for.
Right.
Like, the A's fans will cheer for it if you have some sort of product for them, and recently they just don't. He just doesn't care.
Give them something to cheer for as you're out the door. They might be upset with you that you're out the door, but hey, at least we're going
to
be,
I mean, you might be able to hang on to some of them. Like,
right.
they might move with you to Vegas if you start trying, but I don't know. I don't know. He hasn't shown any willingness to want to spend to win at all. So
10-40 record after last night's 3-2 loss. That matches the 1932 Red Sox and the 1897 St. Louis Browns for the fourth worst start through 50 games. We are not going to remember the 1897 St. Louis Browns, for those of you hoping we would, maybe at some other time. 319-366-1600. Got to get to that What Would You Do Collector's Corner coming up in just a little bit. Love to hear your thoughts on this one. It's on the way in 60 seconds right here on the Gym.
Pay back your not a real customer. Quote based on a healthy, non-smoking 44-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Welcome to Ethos, a new kind of insurance company that believes life insurance should be hassle-free, affordable, and accessible for everyone.
For around $1 a day, I got a 20-year, $250,000 term life insurance policy without a medical exam. All I had to do was answer a few health questions and snap, family protected. It was quick and easy. Ethos is 100% online. I got a quote in seconds, applied in minutes, and got coverage in hours. Just answer a few health questions. No medical exam, no blood tests, no hassle. Look, nobody wants to plan for the unthinkable, but it would be so much worse to not plan at all. So don't put it off. It feels great having the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected.
Ethos, the 100% online hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Don't wait. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Back at 250, Spencer at Sports with you for a few more minutes here on a Wednesday. Gym class on the way from 3 until 4. Todd Brommelkamp show in between 4 and 6. Hockey tonight, Carolina and Florida. Eastern Conference Finals, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock game time. You can hear it right here on KGYM, courtesy of Sports USA. 251, all right, Collector's Corner time. This is interesting. I want to know, I think I know what most of us would do, but I'm curious if there's anybody who would actually wait. This is really kind of an interesting thing that just popped up here within the last 24 hours. If you follow baseball, you've probably heard of Drew Jones. Not Andrew Jones. This is his son, Drew Jones. He is a prospect in the Diamondbacks organization, was the number 2 overall pick in the 2022 MLB draft. He is the number 2 prospect, by the way, in the Diamondbacks organization, according to MLB Pipeline. Well, as you know, there's baseball cards out there in the world. There is a set, I'm sure some of you are probably familiar with, called Bowman Baseball, and that has their first card, right? It's their first card, has the first Bowman insignia in the corner, and those are pretty collectible. If you got a superstar, it's their first card, first Bowman card. Hey, that could be, if it's a specific type of parallel or something, it could be worth some serious money. Well, someone in Ohio pulled a one-of-a-kind Drew Jones autograph. It is literally the only one in the world. It's called a superfractor. It just sounds like it should be the only one in the world, right? Well, it was pulled, and there was, the way it was termed was a bounty for it. And the ante was kind of upped in this. Usually when you see something like this, it's, okay, if this is found, we will give you X amount of cash for it. But there was kind of a interesting little caveat to it. You had your option if you were the person to pull this one-of-a-kind autograph of the Diamondbacks' number 2 overall prospect. If you pull the card and hand it over immediately, you would right away get $250,000. Pretty good deal, right? I just opened a pack of baseball cards. I pulled this rare card, only one of its kind in the world, and I get $250,000. For handing it over. The catch is, you could keep the card, and you get $1 million if Drew Jones makes the Hall of Fame. Big, big gamble, is it not? He's in A ball right now. Low A for the Diamondbacks. He's got a lot of potential. He's the son of Andrew Jones, who likely could be a Hall of Famer, probably should be at some point in the near future. You think he's probably going to get in. But he's nowhere near making the Hall of Fame. So what do? Do you take the $250,000 and be fine with it, or do you take the risk and see if he makes the Hall of Fame? And it's not a guarantee he does, obviously. Just because your dad is famous and was a really good baseball player in his time doesn't mean your son is guaranteed. Obviously, there's a lot of potential there. The scouts think highly of him. He was the number two overall pick. He's number two prospect behind Jordan Lawler and the Diamondbacks organization. The card's worth a lot of money as it is, because it's the only one of its kind, especially if you're a Diamondbacks fan or you're a Drew Jones fan. But what do? Do you take the $250,000 now, or do you wait, what, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and hope it cashes out for $1 million? What do you think? 319-366-1600. Isaac, I don't know about you. I would just take the $250. I'm not waiting. The money is the money right now, and I could probably use the money right now as opposed to 10 years from now when I probably, chances are maybe I forgot about baseball cards. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, just multiplying times four just doesn't seem like enough of a increase based on the risk. Like, Hall of Fame is, and particularly baseball Hall of Fame, is really hard to get into. So that does not seem like equal value, or to me at least, like,
right.
$250,000 to $1 million does not seem enough based on that. Like, maybe if it was, like $5 million or something like that, maybe I'd take a little bit longer to consider it. But $250,000, I think, to me, is almost the easy choice.
Right. Mike in Iowa City, interesting take on the text line. Take the money, invest it, and you'll have more than $1 million in 20 years.
Say, maybe with the way inflation's going, maybe $1 million and however long is going to be worth about $250,000 right now.
Who knows? But yeah, I think the easy answer, I got another text to the text line with just a bunch of money bag emojis. So I think we're all on the same side. It's an interesting gamble to take, especially if he turns out, but it's kind of an impossible bet to win. Maybe that's why the dealer that put this out there did it, right? He's in low A ball. If he was in triple A and he had rose up through the ranks, like, maybe I could see it. But
it's so hard to predict something like that. I mean, how do you predict, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer? If it's that easy, then everyone would have great prospects every year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that is the question du jour. Would you take the money and run, or just wait it out maybe 20 years to see if the guy gets to the Hall of Fame? I would take the cash, knowing my and hopefully my significant other is not listening. I would probably just keep the card. No, who am I kidding? I'd take the cash. 319-366-1600. That'll wrap up the show today. Got to step out of here. Gym class up next. They got Chris Liss and Mark Janes previewing the Indy 500 today as well. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too.